Okay, well, then what I think we will do is I'm going to ask Brother Jim Bush, if you would, please, if you'd lift your voice and ask for God's blessing on our service this evening.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for being here, Lord. Lord, just let us today, Lord, just let us lift you up today, Lord, and learn about you, Lord, and better to live for you and to serve you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness, Lord. Thank you for your safety getting here, Lord. And
yes.
Lord, just give safety as we leave tonight, Lord. And Lord, just help us to worship you today, Lord. And Lord, just help us not to hinder the Holy Spirit today, Lord, here, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing this song a cappella. We have a union piano player with us tonight from New York City. She only plays the middle song. She doesn't play the first and the last. So we're going to only sing the first and the third verse of the song. I'll just tease it. I love to get her. 168, if you would, please. Page 168, The Cleansing Wave. If you would, please, if you can, if you're able, please stand. We'll sing together. 168. Oh, now I see the cleansing way, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, my need to say, points to his wounded side. The cleansing stream, I see. I plunge in, oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. I rise to walk in hands of light above the world of sin. With heart made pure and garments white, with Christ enthroned stream, I see, I plunge in, oh, it cleanseth me, oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me, it cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. Amazing grace, 'tis and below, to feel the blood alive, and Jesus only, Jesus, no, my Jesus crucified. The cleansing stream, I see. I plunge and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. It cleanseth me, yes, cleanseth me. Amen. What a wonderful song. 282 will be our...
sensibility of sin, a pain to feel.
Amen. You may be seated.
I think the first time I heard that song, I was like, wow, some words in that song that I want a principle within, a watchful, godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Help me the first approach to feel a pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will and quench the kindling fire. That's a little bit different than what you hear in so many praise songs today. You ain't going to hear that in a lot of churches of asking the Lord to help guard the mind thoughts and ear gate and eye gate and have a sensibility of sin and the pain to feel it near so they can live closer to God. Amen. Glad to be in church tonight. Glad to be saved. Only announcement the main one I have is that Brian McDonald, Lord willing, will be with us next week. I asked him, priest keeping prayer. He's a missionary in Israel, but his wife's had a series of health issues and problems, and so he's been trying for a while to try to get by here, but with the sicknesses and everything going on, he hasn't been able to get out with his wife as much, but Lord willing, he'll be with us next Sunday. Looking forward to that in the morning service. I also wanted to read something to you that I thought was a blessing. Miss Barb gave this to me, and it's from a church down in near Holly Hill, South Carolina. And it says, a personal email from Donna Wolfer. She says, greetings from Calvary Homes in Lancaster, PA. Thank you for the reminder of the light of the world and the salvation that he brought to everyone. God brought me to this wonderful place, and I am very thankful to the Father who loves, guides, and cares for me in such amazing ways. Of course, salvation in Christ Jesus is the most amazing thing in the world. And it is only through him that we receive multiple blessings. The greatest of blessings I have received is the prayers of God's people, and you have had a good part in that by praying and encouraging your people to pray. She says here, it has been about 50 years since I visited your church. She's 91 now. She was a missionary down in Mexico to the prisoners that were in Mexican prisons. That's Miss Donna. And she's saying that she says that she visited this church about 50 years ago. She's probably, some folks have been there since then and remember me, but I'm sure that most are people I've never met. The only reason they pray for me is because you have faithfully shared my updates and encouraged them to pray. Last month, I received a nice card from Barbara Boyd, from whom I've never heard. She wrote that she never met me and does not have any money to help support me, but she received your mailings and has regularly prayed for me. It is amazing how God puts certain people on hearts, even people we have never met. It is only through the prayer that God directs and works in lives. I thank the Lord for you and your faithful prayer support, which over the years has reached people around the world and produced faithful believers in many places who continue to reach and teach others. Surely there is no way to fathom the love and work of God, which we will see and experience for all eternity. May the joy of the Lord continue to be your strength and strong day by day. Gratefully in Christ, Miss Donna Wolfer. And then the pastor of that church writes this. He says, dear reader, in response to the email on the reverse side, I take liberty to publish Donna Wolfert's personal email because I see the possibility of it being an encouragement to folks to pray for missionaries and others as they serve for the Lord, even though they don't know the people. I am sure that most readers, up to this point at least, have no real idea of the blessing and encouragement to the individuals for whom you might pray. A little historical background. Barbara Boyd, living in eastern Pennsylvania, is the mother of a young lady who briefly attended our church with her husband. They lived some 60 miles from our church, and they were listed in a helps ministry to small local churches, but felt the Lord needed them elsewhere, not in our church, and so they moved on. During their relationship with Faith Bible Church, Miss Barbara visited with her daughter and son-in-law and attended church with them. Her name and address were added to our label file, and she continues to receive our publications. For whom are you praying, whether or not they know you are praying for them? Are you an unknown blessing to anyone, especially a missionary in a foreign land? Are you helping further the purpose of missions in Christ's name? Pastor Huth. So it's just something there to remind us to pray for missionaries, pray for those that we don't even know, because we don't know what kind of blessing that could be for those individuals that we're praying for, and that God would help them do their ministries to stay faithful to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. I appreciate that.
All right. We'll turn to our last song, hymn number 192, and then Dave Coughlin, you're singing a special in it. Is that correct? After you said you're singing a special. I could be wrong, but that was the information I got. I'm not getting anywhere with that. Oh, Lord. All right, let's have everybody stand and sing our last song. One Day. I love this song. I really do. This song is just a tremendous blessing. So let's sing it out. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely.
This evening, my first message will be very quick in my first Bible, And then I'm going to move to my second Bible. My first Bible, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture to you from Joshua chapter 8, verse number 1. Joshua chapter 8, verse number 1 says this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given unto the hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." Verse 2. "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall they take thee for a prey on yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." All right, I'm going to stop right there for a second. I'm going to give you all a warning here. When you walk out these doors of this church, you better look through the window there and make sure nobody's ready to attack you. I'm being a little funny here, a little lightness before we get into the message. But you can't trust my daughter. All right? I'm telling you, my daughter's quiet. She doesn't say a lot, but I'm telling you, you better be careful and you better watch her. I come to the back window, get ready to leave out church this morning, and I notice somebody with a camera in their hand sitting in their car. I won't mention no names. They're over here in this section right here. And I said, that's not normal for somebody to have a camera in their hands pointed at the door when somebody's getting ready to walk out it. So I told my wife, I said, don't open the door. She said, why? I said, there's something going on out there, and I don't trust people. So they were hiding right there. I said, okay, I'm not going to go out that door. I'm going to circle all the way around. I should have went around the whole neighborhood and came up on them. Yeah. So sure enough, I sneak up the side of the church. And she even lured in another brother in the church to try to attack the pastor with snowballs. What is going on around here? Thankfully, she didn't get one brother in the Lord. He decided to be spiritual today and didn't partake of their actions. Amen. So let's take our Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as we try to finish up here in Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to have fun in the Lord and to be able to laugh and have a little humor. I believe God has a sense of humor. I really do believe God has a sense of humor. I believe that God laughs. I believe God is angry. The Bible says he gets angry. So I believe there's a side of God that he likes things that are funny as well, because he imparted it to us. God's given us emotions, sadness, love, anger, funny things that are funny. Just look at some of the creatures he's created. I mean, that one monkey that's got a pink rear end, if you can't laugh at that monkey, something's wrong with you. Okay, God makes some funny creatures, I think, just to make us laugh. And I think sometimes we're afraid to laugh at some things, but a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I really do believe that. I think they did some, and I'm being serious on this part, I think they did some studies on individuals that were sick. And if they could get them to start laughing, it was amazing how quick their recovery got. If they could just laugh for a little bit. It's almost like laughter does something for the immune system. I don't know how it all works, but laughter is a medicine, and it's something good that we can laugh about some things and enjoy some things and some humor, right humor, that God's given for us to enjoy. 1 Thessalonians, let me get over there real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up here in verse number 1. I'm going to do a quick review of verses 1 through 3, and then we'll jump on down and finishes up verses 4 through 7. The Bible says here, 1 Thessalonians 5:1, "But at the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening. Lord, I pray you bless your word. I pray you just give wisdom, guidance, and direction and help, Lord, this evening. Help us to pull out what is in these scriptures, dear God, to give you glory and honor and praise, Lord. and the hopes as well, Lord, that it would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Now you may receive the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at a little bit and went over verses 1 through 3 to where the Bible says, "But at the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Take your Bible for a moment and flip over to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Paul tells the church there, he says, "Of the times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Basically, Paul's saying there's no need to go over these things because you know them and what the Lord has said about the times and the seasons. And we're going to get to a point on this. Notice that Paul didn't say time and season. And we're going to look at times and seasons, plural. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples here before he ascends up to heaven. And the disciples ask him a question. They say, "When therefore, where they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Okay? So right before the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to send back up to heaven, his disciples are there with him, and they ask him this question, "Lord, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?" Look, this thing of the church and people being born again of God by the Holy Spirit of God, it's almost still like a foreign concept with them. On a sidetrack real quick, that's why you have to be so careful with the book of Acts. Acts is a transitional book. You do not pull doctrine out of the book of Acts or the book of Matthew. Especially Acts, it's a transitional book. You're going from Jewish law and Jewish sacrifice and the priest and the temple, and you're transitioning from that to all that we have in the church in Jesus Christ. And the Jews originally had a hard time letting loose of what they had been taught, and rightfully so, I understand it. That's all they knew, and Acts is the process of them trying to let go of what they had in Judaism and fully grasp of what they now have in Jesus Christ. Okay? So the book of Acts is a transition. So we don't pull doctrine or how we live as a church and as Christians completely from the book of Acts, because it's a transitional book. All right? So Jesus tells them, though, he tells them they're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for the kingdom to come in. And Jesus says, listen, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Times and seasons. Now, take your Bible and look at Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter 2, times and seasons. Times is something that's specific. Seasons is something that is general. The times and the seasons of the day of the Lord. Okay? Daniel chapter number 2, and look at verse number 20. Daniel 2:20. Times and seasons. This is an interesting verse here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Look at verse 21. "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." But a very interesting verse here that Daniel talking about, that the Lord God, he changeth the times and the seasons. Now look, as Christians, it is not our job to try to figure out exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ is to come back. There's individuals out there that said Jesus was going to come back. There was a man, I don't know if he lived in South Carolina or in Georgia. Man, he had some crazy stuff, but he would say he had all these dates of when Jesus was coming back. And all of them ended up being false. It's not for us to know the times and the seasons that the Father has set in his own power.
We need to be about what God's told us to do, and that's to be a light to this world out here. The times and the seasons and the Lord's return, that's the Father's business. We just need to be faithful with the orders that we have from God and not try to make a chart and figure out the exact day that the Lord is coming back. Now, I have some ideas in my mind just from Bible study of when I think maybe the Lord might come back. But that's just a thought I have, and I'm not going to put it out there to everybody. It's just something between me and the Lord. I just wonder about some things. I wonder if the Lord's going to come back around the Feast of Trumpets. I just wonder. There's a lot of things that line up with the feast, from the Passover to unleavened bread to the Feast of Trumpets to first fruits to Passover to Pentecost. There's all different things with the feast. And Lord, one, if God gives a chance and opportunity, there's a lesson that my pastor taught through, and I think is wonderful. Maybe I get an opportunity to teach through here, how a woman's pregnancy lines up perfectly with all the feast days. Perfect. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. When you take from the time of conception and line that up with the first feast day, and it goes all around, it lines up perfectly with the trimesters in a woman's womb as the baby's being formed. Absolutely fascinating. That's another whole study. All right. But anyways, the times and seasons. Now, I want to just reiterate this real quick and say it from last week. This thought of the term, you can flip back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you see there, when we read it in verse number 2, all right, in verse number 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, what did we just get done reading in chapter 4? We looked at it last week. We looked at the rapture of the church, the blessed hope, the translation into eternity by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes through those clouds to receive us unto himself. You end in chapter 4 with comfort one another with these words, but then you go right into chapter 5. Now, one thing you have to remember is when the scriptures were written, they weren't broken up by chapters, and they weren't broken up by verse numbers. It was a continually flowing letter. So the same thought drops down into verse number 5, and Paul says, you don't need to be worried about the times and seasons. If you're saved, just live for the Lord. And then he says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now last week I looked at the day of the Lord as the day that Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign for that 1,000 years, the day of the Lord. This is one thing I want you to keep in the back of your mind now. The day of the Lord is not just one day, one time, one event, but I believe it's a series of events. The term the day of the Lord. I believe the day of the Lord encapsulates or is encapsulated, if that's even a word, in rapture, the rapture, the tribulation, the second coming, the millennial reign, and in a new heaven and new earth. I believe the day of the Lord could encompass all of those five events. All right? The day of the Lord. When you look at it here, I believe it's in reference to the rapture of the church and then the kickoff date, so to speak, of the tribulation. I believe the rapture, as soon as the church goes out, I believe it kicks in us going in, the world going into the tribulation. It's like a jump starter to kick in the tribulation. Take your Bible and look at, where is it at? 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. All right? Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8. All right. Now, what we read in Thessalonians says that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I do not believe that verse there in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 is referring to when God Almighty himself burns up the earth and the heavens with a great heat. I don't believe that's what that's referring to in Thessalonians. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. 2 Peter 3, and if I can get over to myself, 2 Peter 3 in verse 8. Hopefully I get the right book of the Bible. All right. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at this now, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Look at this verse 12 now. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. You have the day of the Lord in verse 10. Now in verse 12 you have referred to as the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I believe this, the day of the Lord here is when everything is gone. It's at the very end there, at the millennium, where Satan is loosed out of that prison. He had been bound up for 1,000 years. He's loosed for a time. And as he's loose for a time, he's able to gather again an army that comes up against God's people. And God the Father says, that's it, I'm done. And it wipes it all out. Everything's gone. Even the earth is gone. The heavens are gone. It's almost like we're going to be standing on nothing. I don't even know how it's all going to work out. But this earth is going to be annihilated, gone. No longer in existence. It's going to melt. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And they're going to pass away. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein there dwelleth righteousness. And this is referred to as the day of the Lord and the day of God. Now, look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I said a little bit earlier that it appears, or it seems like that, the blessed hope and the church being taken out sets these events in motion. Sets these events in motion. The events of the day of the Lord. Now, wouldn't we say that the rapture would be like a thief in the night? It's going to occur like that. It's going to occur like a thief in the night. We don't know when our Lord's coming back to take us home out of here. But it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Instantaneous. Before we can even think what's occurring, brethren, we are going to be translated and have our new gone up into heaven. What a day that's going to be. I can't imagine all of a sudden those clouds opening up and might be, I hope I'm outside to be able to see it. I hope I'm outside. Can you imagine just being outside one day in your garden or taking a walk or coming out to the parking lot and all of a sudden, boom, those clouds open up and there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And before you can even think what's going on, in a twinkling of an eye, you're heading up there to be with the Lord. Glory to God. You want to talk about something that's exciting. Getting ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, it's going to be like a thief in the night. It's going to happen quick. It's going to happen real quick. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 is a picture of that. Look at Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. John the Baptist, through the Lord, just got done giving these letters to the seven churches. And it said in Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And look what he says in verse 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. John the Baptist says, all of a sudden, he says, I was in the spirit. He said, a door was open in heaven, and a voice that sounded like a trumpet said to him, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And he says, and immediately I was in the spirit and before that throne. That's a picture of the rapture of the church. But as soon as he goes up, John goes up. Picture the rapture of the church. You get Revelation 5, and then into Revelation chapter 6. And look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. You know what? I'm sorry. Go back to chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation 5, verse 1. John's now in heaven. Look what he says in verse 1 of chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and in the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Here, look over to chapter 6 real quick and look at verse 1. And I saw the lamb open one of the seals. So John the Apostle gets taken up into heaven. He's there before the throne. He sees this book. There's no one worthy to open it or open the seals of the book. An elder says to him, don't worry. There's one. There's a line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He hath prevailed in order to open those seals. You go into chapter 6, verse 1, and the lamb starts to open the seals. Church is there in heaven. The lamb starts to open the seals. The tribulation begins down here on earth. Church gone kicks in the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord, I believe, encompasses all the way to the very end of the new heavens and the new earth. All right? Now, some practical stuff. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. With that in mind, that we're not to be worried or think about or be concerned with times and seasons, that we know. We're not ignorant, brethren. If you're in church tonight and you read your Bible, just like the children of Israel weren't ignorant that the Lord someday is going to set up his kingdom here on this earth, a physical kingdom, us as believers, us as Christians, are not ignorant to the fact that Jesus Christ could appear at any moment. He could appear at any moment to take us home with him, and we're not ignorant of those facts. Look what Paul goes on to say in verse 4. He talks about they in verse 3, but in verse 4 he says, brethren. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Okay? We're not of darkness. If you're saved this evening, you're not in darkness no more. You've been taken and translated from darkness to light through the blood of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 26, verse 15. We now have light. We now have our eyes opened. We now can understand these spiritual concepts. We can now get them. But someone that's lost and undone, like I said this morning, they are foolishness to him. Not only does he not understand them, but they will make fun of these things that we're teaching this evening. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse number 15. Acts 26, verse 15. This is Paul before King Agrippa and others, and he's giving his testimony to King Agrippa. And he says here in Acts chapter 26, verse 15, he's talking about his run-in with the Lord on the road to Damascus. We're going to pick up here in verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why was Paul sent to preach the gospel? Look at verse 18. To open their eyes. Do you see that tonight? Salvation. When salvation takes place in your life, true biblical Bible salvation, the first thing I believe that occurs, your eyes are open. You see. I'm not talking about your physical eyes. I'm not talking about physical sight. I'm telling you, when I got saved, I said it this morning, when I got saved, when I got born again of God, it was like the lights come on. My eyes were open, and I said, wow. The Bible, Paul says it. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And look at this next verse. And from the power of Satan unto God. And brethren, before you're saved, you are in darkness. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing concerning the spiritual side of things. You're walking on in darkness. Brethren, how scary is that concept? Think about it for a moment. How scary is the concept of being in a spiritual state to where you're walking in darkness? Now imagine we shut all the lights off in here and it's pitch black. That's the picture of somebody who's lost and doesn't have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to lead, guide, and direct them in their lives. Brethren, there's been individuals out there, and maybe even tonight, they're going to get out of that bar down there. They're going to be drunk. They're in spiritual darkness. They're in spiritual darkness. They have no concerns that there's a church open this evening on Ray Street at 610 Ray Street. They could care less that Ray Street Baptist Church is open tonight. They're putting back some beers down there. They're in spiritual darkness. And they don't even realize the direction and the path that they're headed on. Some individuals in this city around here are going to get in a car tonight and are going to be drunk. And I guarantee you, probably, if not in this state, in one of the states, in these New England states, somebody that is drunk tonight is going to get in a car and they're not going to make it home. They're not going to make it home. They're blinded. They think that the things will always be the same as they always are. I'll go and I'll do what I want to do, and I'll get the same result as it was before. Brethren, the first fatality I ever had to work was a man who was leaving a football party. I still remember it. Dallas Cowboys playing the Washington Redskins, and this was back in 2007, 2008. And it was the first fatality scene I had to work as a trooper, as a state trooper. And I remember getting a call, and it was out in a rural area there down in South Carolina. And as I was driving out there, I said, well, Lord, help me, because I've never done one of these things before. And I got out there, and it was on this back road, and this man had gotten his pickup truck trying to drive home from his party, from the football party, on the way home, lost control of his vehicle, wasn't wearing a seatbelt, went down off in a ravine, and he flipped the car, and he died. I tell individuals, I guarantee you, when that man got in his truck to go to his friend's house or his family's house to watch that football game, and as he's having a good old time and he's drinking those beers and he's just having a good old time there with friends and family, I guarantee he was not thinking that within an hour or two, I'm going to be into eternity. Within an hour or two, I'm going to have to face eternity. I'm almost positive that man probably was not thinking that, yeah, I only got a few hours left, might as well enjoy them. I guarantee you, when he got in that car and started to drive home, he thought that it would be like every other time that I'd driven home. I guarantee it probably wasn't his first time driving drunk. He was an older gentleman. And brethren, that was one of the hardest things one of the hardest things I've had to do in my life is make death notifications. That's a hard thing to do, brethren. When you got to go talk to mama, or you got to go talk to daddy, or you got to go talk to the sister and say, your brother's not here, your daughter's not here, your dad's no longer here, especially when it's something that could have been prevented. That man didn't have to die that night, but he was walking in spiritual darkness. You see, when you get saved, the lights come on. And when you get saved, it's just like this flashlight. Your eyes are open. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and of Satan and unto God. And you now have God's word. You now have the Holy Spirit of God. And though you're in a dark world, you now have your eyes open. You now have the light of the word of God, the scriptures, and you have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And it's just like this flashlight to now help you navigate what you have to face in this world. You now have light. Whereas before, you're walking with no light at all. And that's a fearful way to walk. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Not one of us. We can think, well, yeah, preacher, tomorrow. No, you don't know if you're going to do anything tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Right? Spiritual darkness. Paul says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that you may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. There's an inheritance that you receive when you get saved. Are you a child of light this evening? Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Have you passed from darkness to light? Have you passed from darkness to light? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him," look what it says, "who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." A child of light. In Thessalonians, Paul said, "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." May God help us this evening to not fall asleep in our spiritual states, to fall asleep and become ignorant of the enemy's devices. Lastly, I want to cover this real quick, two more parts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice, I'm going to bring that back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul warns us that we need to be sober, and we're going to look at that next week. We need to be sober. We need to be careful that the day doesn't overtake us. We need to be children of light, children of the day. We're not of night or of darkness. We don't need to be asleep, but we need to be watching. We need to be watching. Why do we need to be watching? Why do we need to be awake? Because of verse number 3 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if our gospel, look at this now, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. All right, now we're going to read through this, but I want you to hold your hand there. And I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. All right, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. I want you to look at these. I want you to look at the wording of this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. All right, "Ye are the salt of the earth, But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Basically, we're salt, but if we've lost our flavor, if we've lost our savoriness, what good is it? When you put salt on your food, you put it on it for a purpose to make your food taste good. Okay, we're the salt of the earth. When people taste us, they ought to taste the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But look what he says next in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you notice the word that he used there? He said that you're not a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. You're not to hide your light. Go back over to 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that Jesus Christ can forgive us of our sins and wash away our sins and make us a new creature in him. Old things passed away. All things become new. He can save us and give us eternal life. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That goes right along with what we read in Acts chapter 20, I believe it was, there with Paul before King Agrippa. The power of Satan, in whom the godless world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and are make ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know what our job is? Our job is verse 5. Our job is verse 5. We don't preach ourselves. I'm not up here to preach Chris Welton or what Chris Welton can do to help you out or even how Ray Street Baptist can help you out. I'm not here to preach me. I'm here tonight to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're, whatever needs you have in your life, with whatever struggles you might be going through, with whatever battles you might be facing, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. He can help you through whatever you're going through. He is the one with whom we have to do, and as Christians, who we should preach and talk about. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you see what those verses are saying? When we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work through us, the power and excellency is not of us, but of God working through us and being that light to this dark world. We are to let our lights shine. We are to be a light and a testimony to this world, to when they see us, they see a difference, and when they taste us, they taste the difference. Why? Because there's a devil out there, there's Satan out there, who has power, and he uses that power to blind the minds of them which have yet to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. They walk in darkness. You know what they need to see in their darkness? They need to see a ray of light. Your life as you live it out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, I believe over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, don't be worried about the times and seasons. You know Jesus Christ is going to come back as a thief in the night. You know it can happen instantaneous. So don't be concerned about that part. Don't be worried about date setting. Don't worry. Be worried about trying to figure out when it's going to happen. Just be concerned about being a light and a salt to this earth. Just be concerned about trying to be a testimony to those that are walking on in blindness underneath the power of the devil and the enemy. And hopefully we can be that light before they drop off into eternity. Do you see what I'm saying? Too many people today are worried about date setting and all these other things. No. We got to be like C.T. Studd said, right there, a foot from the pit of hell, trying to save those that are getting ready to go over with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about when my commander come back. I know he's coming back. I just need to be doing what my commander told me to do and be faithful till he comes and retrieves me. I don't need to fall asleep. Well, Jesus won't come back for another 3 years, so I can just skate for 1.5 years. And no. I need to be sober. I need to be awake. I need to be vigilant. And I need to be about his business till he comes home. Real short story. Ernest Shackleton. He led an expedition down there in Antarctica. Man, now I can't have this slip my mind. I believe his ship was called Endurance. I believe it was called. Was it Endurance? Somebody heard? No. Anybody ever hear of Ernest Shackleton? It's a great. You get the book, read it. Excellent story in a book. I believe his ship was named the Spirit of Endurance. But he was an explorer. And he wanted to be the first person to cross completely the continent of Antarctica. And this is back in the early 19. This was way back before we have all the technology we got today. Anyways, he led this expedition down there. It took years and years and years for them to plan this thing. And some people said, this can't be done. It's just, you're a fool. You're crazy to think you can do this. Well, he went down in there. And anyways, his ship got caught up in those ice drifts down there. And basically, his ship got caught. And they weren't going nowhere. And so eventually the ship started breaking apart. Well, Ernest Shackleton, he was the captain. And he said, you know what? Our only hope is for me and a few men to go try to find help. Now, mind you, he's in Antarctica, in one of those bays down there. It was almost like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Him saying, I'm going to go try to find help is like saying, well, yeah, basically we're all going to die. There's no way. Sir, I appreciate you saying you're going to try to find help, but we're basically doomed. We're done. Nobody knows we're here. Nobody knows where we're at. There was no cell phones. There was no rescue force or Coast Guard to come rescue them. They're done. Anyways, he gets some of those life rafts, and him and a few men, amazing brethren, those men, one of his men could with a mere compass and following the stars, directed him to off the coast of South America. Amazing. The whole story is amazing. Anyway, Shackleton says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to get help and I'll be back for you someday to rescue you. So he left his second in charge. I don't know the term for his name because I wasn't in the Navy. I was in the Air Force. So I don't know what it's termed is for the second in charge. But anyways, he was left in charge. And you know what that man did? Now think in his mind, brethren, put yourself in that situation. You see your captain rowing off into the distance there in those waters, just heading off into nowhere. It appears to be nowhere. Rowing off into the horizon, and before you know it, you can't see him no more. He's gone. And turn around to your men saying, men, we got to do what he said. He said, we got to be ready because he's going to come back for any time he could come back and get us. So we got to be ready. And you know what that man did? They had makeshift places where they were living. They end up having to eat some of the animals that were with them. It was horrible what they had to go through. But they continued to fight. And he said every night they would hunker down into the parts of the ship that they built as makeshift shelters. They would hunker down in there and spend the night. And they'd wake up in the morning. And every morning they said, that man would say, okay, pack up your gear, guys. Pack up your gear. Get everything ready. Today could be the day he's coming back. And what he was doing was he was always trying to keep their minds in. Because he knew that if at any moment they didn't have anything to do, they would start to drift off into despair of hopelessness, which I could understand why. you're on the continent of Antarctica. There are no trees, there's no people, there's nothing. How quick you could slip into despair of, sir, it's hopeless. Why are you even making me wake up? Just let me stay here and sleep and eventually die. Just leave me alone. But this man had character about him. So every morning, get up, guys, stow your gear. This could be the days coming back. Kept them busy doing things. Kept them busy doing, but staying faithful around that little makeshift camp they had there. Wouldn't you know? One day he wakes those guys up, says, guys, this could be the day. He's come back. Stow up your gear. Get everything ready. He said that we need to be ready when he comes back. And off in the distance, here come some ships to rescue them. Glory to God. That is a picture of us. That is a picture of us waiting on our captain, the captain of our faith. He said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you. Don't be worried about the times and seasons. Just know, I'll be back to get you. Make sure you got your gear stowed up. Make sure you got your everything ready for when I come to get you. I guess I ask you this question tonight. Are you living in the light of God's word? Are you being sober? Are you awake? Are you being watchful? Are you vigilant? Are you ready? Do you have everything ready if our captain were to return tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, thank you, dear God, for your word. Lord, I thank you for the scriptures, dear Lord. God, I pray you'd help us as the warning went out there to the church at Thessalonica, Lord, to watch, to be sober, to be vigilant, to not sleep as others do sleep, Lord, those that are in darkness. Lord, help us to be a light. Help us to be a testimony, dear God. Help us in these earthen vessels. Lord, help us in these earthen vessels to allow you to work through our lives that the power and excellency of God may be seen in our life. Lord, that others may notice a difference and start to ask questions of why we are the way we are. How can we have hope in such dark times? May we be able to tell them that hope is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us through the rest of this evening, dear God, as we get ready to go home, Lord, and just keep your hand upon us. I do ask, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen, brethren. I'd like to close with a hymn. I know we've sung it before. One of my favorite. Brother Ralph, what when we all...
Page 673, if you're able to stand, page number 673, when we all get to heaven. Amen. If you're able to stand, we'll close with this hymn tonight, page number 673.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright.
When we all see
and shout the victory.
Amen, brethren. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Stay faithful. Brother Ralph, can you close in prayer, brother?
Yes, sir. Father, again, we're grateful for the day you give us.
Amen.
We thank you for what you have taught us today. Help us to be mindful of all these things and not set them aside and be occupied with the affairs of this life.
Yes.
Your word tells us we're to set those things aside and to focus on our duty as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ and endure the hardness that occurs as a result of that. Help us to be mindful that our time is short.
Yes.
The day of Christ is soon approaching. And when that day comes, as we heard tonight, the day of the Lord will start right thereafter. And so, help us to be faithful in sharing your word with people.
Yes.
Help us to be mindful that it's just our job to be a great testimony to people, and to share your word with them, but it's your Spirit who draws them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
And if we are not about your business and sharing your word with people, they haven't heard your word, and therefore your Spirit can draw them. So help us to do what you would have us do. As we also heard tonight, we never know until we get to glory. We may see some people there and to hear that you use our prayers on their behalf. And you sent someone their way to tell them of the grace of God that could spare them from eternity in hell. As we go our way tonight, Lord, help us to be meditating on those things. Not on the nonsense that this world offers. Help us to have the right balance.
Yes.
It is right and proper for us to be sober and vigilant because of our adversary, the devil. But at the same time, it is also right and good to have a sense of humor and to have some fun.
Yes, sure.
And enjoy the life that you've given us here on this earth.
Yes.
Yes, we have eternal life to look forward to in heaven, but help us to remember that our eternal life has already started. It started the moment that we got saved. Help us not to grow weary and well-doing and discouraged and down because of what we see in this world. Rather, help us to hold on to that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Dismiss us now with your blessing. Give us safety as we travel to our homes. Our desire would be to see each other again at the next appointed time. But as we heard tonight, we don't know whether we'll have tomorrow or not. But if we are your children, we know we will see each other again, but maybe it will be in heaven rather than here. And that's fine. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And yes, it will be great to see our loved ones and friends that have gone on to glory already.
Yes.
But help us to remember there wouldn't be heaven without Jesus.
Amen.
Help us help our focus to be on doing our duty so that when we get home to heaven, he can say to us, "Well done, good, faithful servants. Enter thou into the joy of thy word." Thank you for all these things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Amen.